'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have
yeah.
it.
Yeah! Ah! You're the best. Yo, athletes dance and athletes cry. Athletes gay and athletes die. Athletes live and athletes juice. Athletes third baseman nicknamed Moose. Yo, it's the Cap Figure Podcast. My name is Ryan. Who are you?
Tommy Mack.
Come on.
Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom McLaughlin.
Hello.
But is Tommy Mack your nickname of the week? Last week you told me to call you the bookie killer.
I'm always that.
So all right,
that's always what I am.
So eventually you're going to be like Tom, and then in the middle, like Tom the bookie killer, Tommy Mack, Big Dick Willie McLaughlin.
Well, I think it's going to evolve. I'm going to start a book that's called Bookie Killing Principles, and my first 100 users or my first 1,000,000 users can pay shipping. And I'll send him that book.
What's going to be in the book? Like, buy a gun, go murder your bookie?
I can't give you them secrets, bro. You got to be one of the first 1,000,000 callers. Get my free ebook. You know. And if you like that ebook, I'll give you a link. And you can buy my second ebook where the real secrets are. And I'll charge you $9,000.
I wish
one-time fee.
I wish we had no soul. We could make $1 billion, dude. You know, they were talking about this. He's a white preacher, but he has infomercials and he targets black people, and it's like, call today for your free holy water, and it has these testimonials. So you call today, you get your holy water, but for it to work you need to send him seed. And seed, you know what seed is? Money, cash. So when you get your holy water, you get an envelope with a return address, and the more money you send, the more seed you plant, the better the holy water works. And it has this testimonial. It's like, I did not believe Tom's sermon, and I got the holy water, and I have not smoked in a week. Or like, it's like, and it's like, I did not know how I was going to pay my bills. I did not know how I was going to feed my kids. And what do you know? A miracle happened. And I don't know if they're in on it or he randomly, like, pyramid scheme, takes other people's money and pays them so they could testimonial, but it's very sad. Anyway.
You can't put a price on wisdom, okay? So don't even sit here and tell me that seed money is fake when you know it's real. The power is in
God
the planting. The power is in the planting and the process of picking.
The process of willingness, right?
So what I'm saying is you take a couple favorites and you watch how the public is spreading their seeds, and then you just go the other way. And that's how my 50-part system, starting book 2, $9,000 next November.
Guaranteed money.
Guaranteed money, bookie killer. I'm telling you, at the end of this, there will be no casinos in Las Vegas.
You're not going to need to work.
It'll be Tommy Mac's town. We'll have a bunch of billionaires, and we'll be popping bottles.
Finally pay for those hair plugs you want. You know, you're going to pay for the stomach staple you want. Dude.
Selling sports betting advice is very difficult, but I think if you're a big enough scumbag, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah. If you're a big enough con artist, you can be rich. You know, the last thing in another con thing, little Ryan sent me this one time, and he's this kid we're friends with, but he's like Pennsylvania, like white trash. He came to see that recently. He visited home, and he was like, yo, I realized I actually am white trash a little bit, yo. And I was like, good for you, Ryan. So anyway, he sent me a link one day, and he's like, yo, what do you think of this? You think this is good advice? And I watched the video, and here's how the video went. It was like, do you want to know the secret words that you can text any girl and get them with you in a matter of weeks? I can show you my system of proven words and buzzwords to send to girls to get them to fall for you.
Mm-hmm.
Only $99.99. And it was like, dude, are you retarded? Are you retarded? You just believed in mind control. You just literally sent me a thing like, yo, you think this mind control is real? Yo, you think this black magic is real? So anyway, all right. Yo.
Are we a baseball show?
Yeah, I know.
Or what are we now?
So, who are some players who wore number 55?
The most famous by the bookie killer standards is Oral Hershiser, 17 years.
I like Anal Hershiser better.
Good. Then we have Ramon Hernandez, Pedro's brother, and the current day players that someone with your intellectual capacity will know are Russell Martin and Tim Lincecum.
Oh, yeah, those guys I know. I don't know the rest of those guys.
Matt Wait, Moore.
Did Ramon have a big, a long career?
Yeah, 15 years.
He's Pedro?
Pedro's older brother.
Wait, I thought Pedro's last name was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is it? Oh, I'm thinking of Ramon Martinez. Who's Ramon Hernandez? Who knows this guy?
Kike Hernandez's older brother. All right, so we got...
Yeah, I thought
I'm
it
sorry.
Was... Yeah, yeah,
I poke holes in your player numbers to wear this pretty often. I apologize. Like when you called Tony Cingrani an old player. Let's move on.
Tony.
So, So today what we're going to talk about, we made some bets in the preseason, some season-long props, and we're going to check in with how they're doing about a third, maybe, yeah, a third of the way into the season. A little,
well,
we're more,
a little
almost
more,
half,
yeah.
And
47%.
We're going to honestly take a look at where we're at. But there's some news stories, bro, I want to throw at you, right? Are you ready to catch them? Kyle Schwarber just got sent down to AAA a minute ago.
Crappy-ass host. That's a terrible topic.
Wait, yo, seriously. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that it's just an example of, like, the hype well exceeded what the actual results were. I think that when Schwarber came up that year, there was sort of a mythical attachment because he came on the scene very fast.
Yes.
And I think that our perception of the player he was is different from even a sabermetric point of view. Like, he had a 770 OPS, and in my mind, I think back, and I'm like, oh my God, he hit so many important home runs.
Yeah.
He must have been crushing it, but he never really was.
That also can be from, like you're saying, we hear about this guy who's positionless but can hit so well, and then he makes the team in a year, right? Or
yeah.
And is hitting and playing in the playoffs, and he did have clutch hits, but it shocked me just now when I looked it up that in 62 games, he only had like an 850 OPS. I would have thought, I remembered it as like early, low nines,
yeah,
you know, because he seemed like he was just killing it. And this is as compared to, and this ties into one of our props that we'll get to later, but Gary Sanchez, I thought they had comparable numbers. They did in that they played a similar amount of games only. Gary Sanchez had played 53 to Schwarber's 62, but Gary Sanchez OPS was a G32 and Schwarber's was 850, and for some, and Gary Sanchez was a starting catcher. Schwarber was like a useless left fielder who sometimes caught. It is amazing that the hype, if you just only followed the media and only followed rhetoric about the players, you would think they were equal or Schwarber was better.
Yeah, and I think a thing that isn't really thought about in this scenario of what you're mentioning as well is Gary Sanchez doesn't speak English, and even though he's in the biggest city, I think people kind of gravitated towards Schwarber.
That's a good point.
He's from the Midwest.
Well, and he's very articulate in post games. He's a good media interview, and he's really, really smart and really polite.
So they gravitate toward his story. He turned down a Big Ten football scholarship. He's like this, you know, Goliath kid from the Midwest, but
horrible goatee.
Like, Gary Sanchez was on SportsCenter, I think this was maybe three Sundays ago. He just hit two home runs like a week after he returned, and he couldn't say one word of English. So that's just the reality of what he's capable of, but it hurts his marketability and our perception of him, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's that plus that is a very good point that I didn't think of. You're right. I was about to say, I thought of it when you intro'd that by saying most people didn't think of this, so you win. But that Sanchez was doing it on a team that wasn't making the playoffs last year, right? Am I retarded? The Yankees didn't make the playoffs.
They were not really in it. They sold off, and then he came up, and was so good.
Whereas,
that they got back into the scene of it. Yeah.
Right. Whereas Schwarber's year, though, they went to the NLCS in 2015.
Right.
And then contributed in their World Series win last year. So anyway, it's just crazy that he's been so bad this year, Schwarber. He's batting like 171. We traded him, actually, you and I, in fantasy. You gave me Brandon Drury for him. But I don't blame you. Schwarber's worth taking a flyer on, but he's just been so bad. So anyway, let's move on. The other big story that, I don't know, sort of makes me feel denigrated as somebody who likes to play third base when I can, is that Freddie Freeman, since Matt Adams is doing well, is like, hey, man, I might play third base when I come back. Are you offended? You're a third baseman in our softball league. Do you feel slighted?
No, I'm not slighted. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Do you feel slighted being compared to Freddie Freeman?
Not at all, yeah. The backstory, he hasn't played third base extensively since high school. He played 5 games as a 17-year-old in the rookie Gulf Coast League at third base. Hasn't played third base since. But, you know, if he has an eye towards the future, if he can play third base, he'll make more money as a free agent. I know he's signed and locked down for a pretty long time, but if he can cover that hole, which the organization obviously has, they've had 3 scrubs at third base this year. Adonis Garcia, Rio Ruiz, and Johan Camargo. So, look, the Braves are getting great, great production out of Matt Adams. It's easier to find baseman production than third baseman production. So, if Freeman's about winning and maximizing what he can get out of his career, it's a good move.
Yeah, Matt Adams has a 919 OPS. He was out of baseball. We always used to laugh because we would often, one of us would use the Cardinals when you and I used to play the show a lot. He was so fat in the show. It was really funny.
Matt Adams,
he looked like huge.
Billy Butler.
Oh, my God. Billy Butler. Yeah, I've said this before, but the only player, even David Ortiz had first baseman listed as his positions. Billy Butler is DH only, so he's useless.
He retired as a Yankee.
This is super rare, though. Yeah, he's going in the Hall of Fame as a Yankee, Freddie Freeman.
Oh, Billy Butler, I mean.
Yeah. Billy Butler.
Big Billy.
I'm looking at Freeman's name. Yeah, Billy. Billy Bean Butler. So Freddie Freeman, though, this is rare. I can't think of a time when a great hitter, or any player for that matter, especially, though, a good hitter, goes up the chain in position difficulty, right? It's almost always like a Hanley Ramirez where they go from shortstop to left field to first base or something like that. Or even like Mauer going from catcher to first. I can't think of times they do it the other way, can you?
Not for a player with the type of power he has and sort of his track record. I have not ever seen a first baseman who's a power hitting first baseman transition into a third baseman. It always goes the opposite way.
I don't even know if I've seen anybody besides a rookie or somebody like Trey Turner.
Trey Turner was the example I was going to say.
Somebody besides him move up in position either,
but he
right?
was a shortstop in the minor
leagues,
but for, too. Yeah,
you ever thought of, like, so even if you don't count him, is there ever a time, power hitter aside, that you can think of somebody moving up in position? You know, I'm saying moving up as – obviously, third base is considered harder to play than first base, and so on. Shortstop, center field at the top, catcher. Like, I can't think of any player ever. I've only been following baseball, like I've said, for the last 5 years. I can't think of any player to do this.
No, and
to go to a more difficult position.
Manny Machado might do that. He's another. He's an outlier.
That's an example, though. That he plays shortstop here and there. That's an example.
The jump from first to third is huge, as opposed to, I would say, third to short. I think it's just a huge difference playing on the opposite side of the diamond. Obviously, I'm just taking for granted that Freeman has a great throwing arm. I don't even know.
Yeah, that's so
crazy.
I'm forgetting about that. The skill set of a first baseman, your throwing arm is irrelevant, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And third base, it's very relevant.
Yeah.
So, whatever. It's really interesting. That's kind of cool. I hope they do it. I mean, that is how I would GM. My team players would hate me because they're all ignorant idiots who will say, I only know the eighth inning, man. I can't close. But I would just have players fill in holes where needed. It's like, okay, Matt Adams is doing a 900 OPS. Hey, Brandon Phillips, you play catcher. Like, I would just mess with stuff. Who knows if it works, man.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, some of these players get casted as 17-year-olds out of the draft. You're a first baseman. Well, maybe let him try. I mean, now's the time to try with Freeman. They're so far out of it. They're not going to make the playoffs. Give him a shot. If it doesn't work out, make him go back to first.
Yeah.
And trade Matt Adams.
It takes balls for him to be willing to do that when he's already having one of the best years ever, right? And,
yeah.
Like, I guess I see the upside for him, but it's just kind of cool. Like, it's like a long-term investment in himself. But I don't know. He wouldn't do that if he didn't have some contract security. So anyway, let's move on to our props, yo. So before the season, how should we do this? Do you want me to read through what they are, or we'll go one by one and then talk about it?
Go one by one.
All right, dog. So you and I picked some. We did, like, two specific player props, and then we bet on team over-unders, and we actually bet real money. I guess we'll start, and we're going to check in with how we're doing with these and what the teams are on pace for and if we regret it or not. And maybe we'll say you could get a refund, but you lose the VIG if you want. So the Padres, you took, and I jumped on with you just because I sort of agreed, but this was your pick. Padres over 66 wins at plus 120. So that means they were not favored. They're expected to go under 66 wins. You bet on that. Right now they're 29-44. They're last in runs scored in all of baseball. They passed the Royals for last. And they're currently on pace for 64 wins if you just multiply out their record. What do you think? Are you surprised?
I just refuse to believe that there would be a team that bad.
Yeah, that was your reasoning year. At the time, was that 66 wins is just so low that there can't be a team that garbage.
It seems like a win total out of like the 1998 Yankees dynasty window where like the Royals were that bad.
Or the 2010 Astros.
But like the rules are much better for competitive balance now than they used to be.
Right. I hear you, yes.
But the Padres are done. They're not going to make that win total.
Don't think they're going to make 66 wins?
No, they're going to trade whatever pieces they have.
But we knew this before the season. I'm surprised you changed your opinion. We knew they were tanking when they non-tendered Tyson Ross and do stuff like that. You know, we knew they were tanking.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't.
Just totally lost faith because I mean, look, they're.
It's only two game worse pace than your bet.
I know. There's the only bright spot to hang your hat on is a first baseman who hits above average for the first base position. I mean, the Padres are
and field much above average, but Will
Myers,
you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, dude, you're not. I'm disappointed in you because. You're too logical. I need you to be a total degenerate gambler with me. I don't want you
double
to...
down.
Yeah. Double down.
Up and down, across.
That's
double down.
Oh my god, yeah.
2-6-4.
Yeah, what
pick
Tom is
three,
what Tom
up
is
and
saying
down.
When in New York City, if anyone lives in New York, if you go to a lottery bodega, there's like a 5-foot little Spanish woman always. You just want to buy a Gatorade. You just played catch and you're tired. And she's playing every single number imaginable, going to the miserable guy behind the counter. 3, 6, 50, 50.
Up and down.
Up and down. Reverse. 2, 10, 3 for
multiplier.
An hour.
Multiplier.
Multiplier.
Double bonus.
And it's like we're laughing because the odds are you're getting raped in the face. So it's just so funny that.
And they play pick three. So like eventually they're going to win. Like you win maybe what, once per year, once every other year. But you're
no
just...
less because the odds are 1 in 999. If you play more, if you play three numbers a day, you'll win once a year.
That's
yeah.
what I mean. Yeah. So they're basically just in a payment plan to the government.
Dude,
where they get
yeah.
40% at once. I mean, they're losing
worse.
So much money.
The best
money,
part
yeah.
is.
And then they spend the all that
money.
Odds
are 1 out of 999 for a pick three. You get paid 500-1. It's half the odds. It's literally a 50% VIG. My dad used to yell at me. He'd see a scratch off in my room, and he'd be like, "What are you doing? I don't want you. Don't play that stuff. Go gamble on sports or something." Like
it's true.
Go owe a bookie money and get your knees cut. All right. So anyway, I'm disappointed though that you're logically reevaluating your bet. I wanted you to double down or go 3 multiply. Anyway, I think they'll get over just because I want to have a hot take. I don't know.
Manny Margot is going to be.
Dude, Hunter Renfroe, Margot, Schimpf, who they fired basically.
He went to the AAA.
I know. But he's going to change his swing. He's going to become a ground ball hitter in the minors and come back.
Padres are a disaster.
They're tanking.
They traded Trey Turner and Jed Jerko. They're both now stars. They're an absolute disaster.
All right, dog. So this is my big bet was the Reds over 69.5 wins. I ended up putting 300 on this. Every other bet I put 100. Or when it was your pick, like the Padres, I added 50 to your 50. So the Reds over 69.5 wins. This started out great. They were above 500. They were, I think, 21-20 at one point. Now they're 30-41, and they're on pace for – they're still on pace for right around it. They're on pace for 68.5 wins. But they were favored to do this. The odds were like minus 135. I don't think I would refund this bet. Maybe it's the inner degenerate in me, but, you know, they're – what are they? They're having a bad streak. They're one – what are they? They had a bad recent – yeah, they're 1-9 in their last 10. I don't think they're that bad. Like, you know, they're just in the middle of an ebb and flow. They're a little bit better than this, I hope. Joey Votto is a god.
You know what I say?
If I could let any – what do you say?
You say your point because this is going to be big.
If I could let any baseball player have sex with me, it'd be Joey Votto.
We're doubling down.
I'm saying double down.
Double down.
All right, good. So we returned one bet, and we're doubling down
Fan
on the
Fangraphs
Reds.
Has their expected wins at 71.6.
Oh, so we're going to win by two games. All
That's
right,
why
man.
We're doubling down.
All right, good. Well, you're singling, and I'm doubling, but now I got 600 on the line. All right, next, Seattle. This is your pick. I stayed away. I wish I joined you, man. You picked under 85.5 wins. That was at minus 120, so this was slightly favored to happen. They're 37-37, but they're on pace by that. They're on pace for 80.5 wins. I think you said the projection is that they'll be 83 wins.
80 wins.
What? Oh, that's I thought
that's
you said
what
83.
Their fan graphs.
Oh, so that's the same as what the 80. Pace they're on by doing just the math: number of games left divided by how many they've won. Why are they on pace to be five games worse than what the odds makers thought they would be? What's changed?
They've had a lot of injuries, but the Astros are just crushing everybody. I think that the Mariners, they definitely have a winning record. Everybody in that division has a losing record to the Astros. The Mariners, I think, are actually outperforming what I personally thought. I know that the odds makers had a higher number for them. I don't know. I think the Mariners, I think with the odds makers, they may have factored in. That team has a lot of stars. So I think, I don't know. I just think there was a mismatch between talent and perception with the Mariners.
The Mariners have been a hot pick in the preseason the last like 3 years, you know?
They always are, yeah.
But I understand it because their pitching is cute. I don't know. I like Cano. But I guess you're right. It's not. It's like a Stars and Scrubs team, which is like the Angels or something, doesn't actually bode well for winning games. Felix Hernandez is the biggest difference, I think, though. He's not playing.
He's coming back.
He's been out for two months?
But he wasn't even good when he was pitching.
Right. So either way, either him on the field or off the field, he's a big difference. Kyle Seager's had a rough start. He's picking it up again now, though. But Nelson Cruz is as good. Cano's doing a little worse. But, you know, Mitch Haniger emerges.
He's coming back.
Who's their shortstop? He's having a good year.
Taylor Motter.
He's better than you would have thought.
He's not that good.
Well, so.
Not that good, bro.
So, what do you think? It's their own play or the Astros, which is a bigger factor?
In them underperforming what the projected wins were? I think the bigger factor is the Astros.
Right. Well, that makes sense. And this is, we were aware that all three. Their line, the Texas Rangers line, which is our next one, I took the over 85.5 wins. But we knew entering the season that Seattle, Texas, and the Astros over-under win totals were all tied in together, obviously.
Yep.
Because, you know, 2 years ago they were stealing wins from each other, Texas and Houston down the stretch, and both ended up with 90 wins. Anyway, for me, and I was totally wrong going into this next one, Texas is 35-36. They're on pace for 79.8 wins, and I picked the over 85.5. I almost took under on Houston 90.5. Remember, we were debating. You were like, "Yo, I'm staying away from that," and I just believed in Yu Darvish having a rebound season, which I was right about. That he's great, but Cole Hamels is falling off. Rougned Odor is not as good as we thought. Adrian Beltre's been hurt. I don't really know, though, why else specifically. It may be the same
as
Seattle. Yeah, oh, right. The bullpen has had a big fall off.
Sam Dyson, who's now on the Giants, basically gave away four games for them.
That's a good point.
In the first week.
So Sam Dyson and the Astros are the reason they're not winning this bet, right?
I think the Rangers are going to turn it around.
how come, who's going to do better? Our boy Gomi?
I think
Carlos Gomi.
I think Beltre being back will be huge for them. I think Odor is a better hitter than he's performed up until now. Lucroy is definitely a better hitter than he performed up until now.
No more Mazzara. I think even
he's going to continue to get better. I think the expectations were maybe a little too high, but everybody still thinks the needle is pointing up with him. Yu Darvish is a great pitcher. Hamels has been out. You know, I don't think they're a team that's going to make a playoff push
at all. The rest of their rotation sucks, actually. Like, the bottom of the rotation, I don't even – I forget the guy's name.
A.J. Griffin.
Yeah, him or Martin Perez.
They got Tyson Ross back, but he's not very good now.
Well, he lost last night to the Blue Jays.
He gave up 7 runs.
Yeah, I believe in him, though. You know, I would agree, actually. I'm going to – we're, you know what we're doing? We're doubling down.
Double down. Up and down, across –
All right.
Multiply
so
that.
So you think they'll get over 85.5? Come on.
Yeah, they'll do it. They'll do it. Yeah, they'll do it.
That wow. I'm only saying that because I'm a degenerate. You're saying that because you're a logical, even-headed mofo.
That's a hot take.
Next,
they're making it.
Hot take. Next, the Royals. This was on my own. I went rogue with this. I didn't even mention this on air until the following
this
episode.
This is purely out of vengeance.
Purely out of vengeance for the Mets.
Them damn Mets! I'm telling you, Lucas Duda, throw the damn ball! David Wright, our cheerleader.
Yeah, we were talking before about the best defensive first baseman, and I admitted a little bit more of my real reason for Hosmer hate was that he showed up David Wright, and that I reminded Tom that after the game, Game 5 of the World Series, that Hosmer said for every time David Wright shuffles, he was going to take a shuffle closer to home, right? He was on third, and David Wright had to throw it to Lucas Duda. And he's like, the old man basically shuffled 3 times. He forced me to go home, like totally insulting our mascot. And then Duda blew it. All right, so anyway.
David Wright is Mr. Met.
Dude, screw the Royals. Ned Yost is an idiot. You agree with me. But somehow they've picked up their pace. They started out so bad. They were like by far the worst offense in baseball at first. The bet is under 76 wins. They're on pace for 79.8 wins right now. So it looks like I'm on pace to lose this bet.
Fangraphs has them at right around 75.9.
Wow, that's a big difference. So that makes me happy that at least they've been outplaying their actual numbers
recently.
Well,
I think that the risk and a big factor in whether they win this bet or lose it is if they feel the pressure to sell their pieces, because they 4 of their best players and their core players for the past number of years are all going to be free agents. So if they start feeling the pressure, like we're not going to make the playoffs, they're going to sell, you know, either Moustakas, Hosmer, Kane, Herrera, or some combination of them. They have to.
This is another example of why you think on a higher level than me, right? As Joey thinks he thinks on a higher level about poker. You don't, our friend Joey, who's
retarded
at poker.
You're supposed to lose money. You're supposed to not put money in when you're winning in the poker hand.
People aren't going to understand what we're saying. But I don't think about when we were doing this in the preseason, as you just mentioned, and I absolutely should in the future, who's going to snowball, right? They're having a bad season, so they more likely – like the state of the franchises, I didn't fully think about. I just thought about the roster and how much I like them, sort of. It didn't come into play, oh, if this team starts out bad, they're going to quit, versus if this team starts out good, they're going to go for it, or they're not going to add pieces. That very much matters in this, because you're right. If the Royals, they'd be really stupid not to sell off pieces. I don't care if they win their next 10 games in a row. They suck. They're a small market, broke-ass team who is doo-doo. Ned Yost, they have a retarded manager. Whatever. I know I'm going into Mets hate, so you're laughing at me. So do you think that they'll end up under 76?
Yeah, I mean, just from a calculation standpoint, I would say yes. I think that if they start out hot, they are a team that will end up being over that amount, but I think
that... What do you mean if they start out hot? From this point forward?
Yeah, like if they're in a position where they can contend at the trade deadline and they don't sell, then I think they're going to go over, but I think...
Well, duh, do you think they wouldn't sell in any case?
That they wouldn't sell in any case. Yeah, if they're like one game out of the wild card spot.
Then you think they'll hold on to
their
dudes?
Then I think they might hold on, go for one last run with them.
I hope they're that stupid. I actually would sacrifice this bet for the Royals to be that stupid.
Let them
stupid.
Hold on close enough.
Yeah.
And then, like,
do like the Reds have done recently.
And then they'll have Salvador Perez and Jorge Bonifacio.
They'll have their slave. Like, they have a catcher who's a slave.
Yeah.
He's making $1 million a year.
In, like, the whitest community in America.
Blowing up his knees. Right. Working the field. all
catch
right.
this pitch, Salvador.
So the next bet, and I'll tell the story. It's pretty funny. So we know... somebody whose dad is involved with the Rays. I won't say his name, but and big time involved with the Rays, and I'm friendly with him. And anyway, I showed him my preseason props, just being like, we were talking baseball out to eat with a group of friends. I was like, yo, what do you think of these? And he glanced at it and then hands it back to me. He goes, I hate them. And I had totally forgot, like a retard, self-centered mutt that I am, that on my list of props, I had Evan Longoria under 28 home runs on the season. Mm. And I'm handing it to this kid who lives the Rays. It's like me handing to Derek Jeter, like, what do you think of my props? And it's under Yankees wins. Or like, and so he's like, I hate him. And so he peer pressure. I was like, oh, all right, dude. You know, I'm just a degenerate. I'll change it just to like, because you're my friend, because he's my friend. So I flipped it to Evan Longoria over 28 home runs, and I doubled my bet from 50 to 100. Unfortunately, he has 10 home runs, and he's on pace for, like, 22.
And he's not that good. Not that good, bro.
He does have better numbers than I thought, like, power numbers over the last couple years. There was some degenerate route for me to justify changing my bet, but I do regret it. How many home runs do you think he'll end up with?
19.
So he'll hit 9 more.
17, he's going to get injured.
He's the type of player I don't like Brian Dozier, that do most of their damage against left-handed hitters. They're doo-doo butt. All right.
And they always pull their home runs. It's always the left
yeah,
field.
Yeah, push them, bro. Come on, man. All right.
You got enough strength. Go Oppo.
Yo. So, and then the one we both agreed on the most, our crowning jewel, and the prop we're clearly winning, was this.
A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that seemed too good to be true.
It was a guaranteed lock of the century.
Tom is doing Steve Stevens.
Steve, if you're listening.
It's a guaranteed blowout lock. You missed out on it. Why would you play the stock market? So it was Gary Sanchez, home runs. So this is a point spread of which player will have more home runs plus RBIs at the end of the season. And it was... they pitted, like, Joey Votto versus Freddie Freeman. There were a couple, right? Or it was Edwin Encarnacion.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple matchups, and the catcher one was Gary Sanchez against Buster Posey for who will finish the season with more home runs plus RBIs. But if you bet on Gary Sanchez, you were spotted 2.5, which made it even better. You know, we would have liked it at even money with no spread. And anyway, right now the score is... Sanchez 46 to Posey 34. Gary Sanchez has 12 homers plus 34 RBIs, and Posey has 9 homers plus 25 RBIs. So essentially, we're up by 15.5. What are your thoughts? Stone cold lock.
Sanchez is the present and the future. Posey is the past. We saw around the corner. And that's why we're making money.
I don't know
what
that means.
That's why we make money.
Oh, because we could see the future.
We see the future.
I'm sorry.
That's how we make money here at... Boogie Killers Incorporated.
Yeah, you need a name for your like borderline black preachery horrible scam to make money. You know how many roulette systems, back to the scamming. If you Google, and when I was a baby degenerate, I went to the casino and was looking up like roulette odds or winning roulette, and then obviously it pops up because it knows you're a dummy if you're Googling how to win at roulette. And so it's like, I got a system, this'll work. I can't reveal what it is exactly, but
for $29,
$29,
I probably can be.
You get my
too.
Book, Winning Roulette,
Roulette Physics.
So we did see the future with this, though. Sanchez, it was scary for a minute because Sanchez got hurt. What did he get? A concussion, or it was Posey? Both of them were out. Sanchez hurt his wrist, or some hurt his dick. But given what I mentioned earlier, the Schwarber-Gary Sanchez comparison, looking at that was part of what made us be like, this is a slam dunk. And Posey doesn't hit a lot of home runs. And we got extra lucky that the Yankees offense is much better than we could have thought. And the San Francisco Giants is worse than we would have thought.
Right.
All that said, we're geniuses.
Correct.
All right.
We're geniuses.
Before we end, Is there anything else? What other scams have you ever thought of?
What other scams have I ever
thought of? If you, let's think, if we really had no soul, what could we do? Like, let's just really think of how we could con people.
Well, we got to go through the best con artists. We got Ty Lopez.
Oh, he's definitely top in the... Ty Lopez is in the power rankings.
Bernie Madoff, yeah.
Steve Stevens. You know, Ty Lopez is the guy who has... Hi, just here in my garage with my Lamborghini. He's like, but I don't care about money. Money or fuel units for knowledge.
You know, you guys been tweeting in and...
you want to see my house.
People said they want to see my house, you know, and it's no big deal. But I guess I was like, you know, all right, I'll let you see my house. All right,
I'll pay for this ad to show you guys my house.
So I'll go rent this really nice house.
I'll go rent this house and literally pay for ad space to show you guys something that you've been asking me to do.
Yeah.
Ty Lopez is up there. Reverend Al Sharpton, right? We were talking about him before the show.
Yes. He games the system.
He is a good con artist. Maybe Donald Trump. And I don't mean that controversial. So is, I don't know, name me a left-wing con artist. I don't want the people to hate me.
I don't even, Rush Limbaugh.
Left-wing, dingy.
Bernie Madoff? No.
No.
I don't know.
No, don't put him on the left. Rachel Maddow. Al Gore. Whatever. Al Gore. Oh, Al Sharpton. What am I, retarded? I just named Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton.
So anyway, I think...
Skinny Al.
I think that we should just go for it, man. Let's just sell people pics. Let's just be like one of those Twitter accounts that just lies. You could just make a pic, delete the tweet, and then say, I'm 13-5 in my last whatever games.
Yeah. Well, there's this guy, Tony the Rhino, on Twitter.
He's the fake one?
Yeah, he does the same shit. It's like, he's like, we're 89.8% in our last four picks. I'm like, how is that possible?
He's joking, though. How is that?
Yeah, well, there's a guy who's a joke, but then there are
Tony the Rhino
companies.
Is a real...
Yeah, he's like, we're like 90% in our last 10 picks, and then I go and click on the link, and it's like 3-7 in the NFL season, 1-9 in the NHL season.
You know... Uncovers.com, actually, and we should talk about this before we leave. We've been doing this office pool where we've been tracking our baseball picks against each other. Tweet at us, Griffey, if you listen to the show. There's another person in the pool, and I don't know if they listen to the show or they just found us on the Covers site. Because anyone can make an account on Covers, try to be a sports touter themselves, right?
Yeah.
So you can make an account, and then it shows your... percentages of hitting,
yeah.
And then you can choose to buy picks. It's a smart website for them because they don't have anything to lose by letting people get on a lucky streak and then sell their picks. But anyway,
and if you actually are legitimate and you've done it for a long enough time,
then it's
you
proof.
Want people, you want proof.
Yeah, exactly. It's a win-win. You're right, because that's a way to show it. So we'll just say, am I still ahead of you or no?
You're ahead of me. Yeah.
Okay, what happened? You were doing better than me at first. What have you found has worked and what has not worked so far in your ideas?
I mean, the picks I've made based on the weather related impacts, those have worked out pretty well. Recently, like, starting pitchers that are favorites in like the -150 to -190 range have just not, they just haven't been worth it.
Yeah. I was making fun of you for betting favorites a bit. But it was just me taunting you for not being a bigger risk-taker idiot like I am. But maybe there's something to that with baseball, to betting underdogs. Maybe there's not. Who the hell knows, man?
It's interesting to me, and it just proves like a very simple arithmetic point about sports gambling is Griffey actually is ahead of even. And I know that there are different lines that impact
this.
Oh, his
picks. It's by his record of right choices to wrong choices.
Yeah, he's 192, 185, and 12. That's
so he's above 500. But
and he's minus 10,000 units in the hole.
Because of the VIG. And we can only bet 1 to 500 units a game.
Yeah.
So that shows that you can be getting it right, especially if he's betting favorites, which I think he does.
Yeah.
That record is not good. You need to be... like 10-5 if you're betting favorites to win money.
Right.
I remember Matt Lawrence told me he had a system 2 years ago. He was like, yo, man, I've been betting on football. It's been working. All I've been doing is betting on the Panthers, the Patriots and some other good team. And then in the playoffs, he was like, yo, I'm done, man. But that's like me with every day of my gambling. Remember I told you I had a FanDuel program that I could win with?
Yeah, yeah. I just copy it right from the...
It's just been working, man. And it was, but I don't know. So anyway, so I think that going against the public on my side, the over-unders, that's about getting back to 500. The only reason that I'm ahead of you is by virtue of these underdogs winning when there's... And sportsbookspy.com shows the cash now. It's not just the tickets.
Oh, okay.
Which is great. And so going against everybody when they're betting on the favorite, a lot of those teams have been winning. And yeah, you don't need more than 50% to win. You need like 45% to win. So anyway, we'll keep tracking it. Join and covers office pools and we're the Cap Figure podcast pool. And that's it, man. I don't know.
That's all for next time.
Yeah, bye. Al Sharpton is like a 12-year-old. Look up the selfie of Al Sharpton, guys. He looks like a little baby from behind.